There is a curse that I can't seem to cure. Chained to a past full of shadows and fear. I keep on walking, not sure if I'm moving away.
This is Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay pure online. Today is the beginning of Rap Week, White Ribbons Against Pornography. For the last 24 years, this annual awareness week has rallied people around the nation to speak out against pornography and the harms it causes in our society. On today's special podcast, we are joined by two ex-porn actresses having a conversation about their experiences in the industry. Today's podcast may not be suitable for all audiences due to graphic descriptions of sexual violence. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are hearing from Shelley Lubin, an ex-porn star who reaches out to those still in the porn industry with the message of the gospel. She is interviewing Victoria, a woman who left the porn industry several years ago, but who is still deeply impacted by her time in the industry. Victoria shares with us the story of her rape and the abuses she encountered in the industry.
So you say that the women enjoy making porn. Did you ever enjoy it?
I did not enjoy making porn. It was a big act. That act got ugly once I got raped and reality set in. It's an illusion.
My heart is that I want to let people know, especially the women, know what kind of risks they're taking with their lives.
I really want people and girls to understand what does really happen, because it happened to me. I mean, it's really horrifying. Meat market is what it is. The performers are products. It's unbelievable to me that they're allowed to make a business out of risking lives.
And why do you think the sex industry appealed to you?
I guess, really, I was under the illusion that it would be glamorous and I would get attention and that type of thing.
And let's talk about how you got into the porn world. What is your first experience like?
Well, I won a contest in Hustler magazine. I entered it kind of as a joke. And they brought me out to L.A. and I did a bunch of projects with Hustler magazine. And someone that worked with Hustler then got me hooked up with an agent by the name of Derek Hay, who worked with L.A. Direct Models. And I was moved into his house. And there were other girls there, around six or seven of us at a time. And they were also porn performers. And he would have his house so full that he actually moved one of the girls into a closet. And we all paid like $700 a month apiece to live in this little apartment together.
He moved a girl into a closet?
Right, right. I mean, he had us packed in there like sardines almost.
Did you ever feel pressured by an agent or a pornographer to do sex acts you would have never done before porn?
Absolutely. You know, I had never done anal in my personal life.
But were you coerced or pressured to do sex acts you didn't agree to?
Yes. I mean, definitely. You know, I had Derek as my agent, and he always pressured me to do anal. And I'd always stood my ground and said that I would absolutely never do anal, no matter what. He went on ahead and took it upon himself to book a scene that was an anal scene. And it was going to be with me and him as the male partner. And he came in and he told me that he had done this. And I got mad and I packed up all of my bags and left.
But it's common in the porn industry for pornographers to coerce women, pressure them to do sex acts. Let's talk about one of your worst experiences in porn. You had told me about this, and I was just in shock.
Absolutely. That's why I'm here, because I really want people and girls to understand what does really happen, because it happened to me in the industry. After I left Derek, I wasn't getting booked for any work. I was hiding out. I had somebody call me and tell me that they could get me a scene over at Red Light District, and they had talked to Vince Voyer, and he had me, you know, book this scene with him, and it was going to be the first scene that I had done after running out on Derek Hay. Vince picked me up from where I was staying the day of the shoot, and he told me that he wanted Roadhead, and he called me a whore. He told me I had to do it, and I did. I felt extremely pressured. When we got to the location, I expected everything to go down that it, you know, was told to me. It was, so we get into the scene, and we had been filming for a little bit, and I thought that he was just going to enter me vaginally from that position, and instead went into me with an anal insertion. I had told them several times to stop. There were
did you tell them or yell and scream at them? I mean,
I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Stop. And Vince kept pressuring, and the performer would not stop. He just kept on and on penetrating me. And I eventually, after so much arguing back and forth and the fact that Eric wouldn't stop, I ended up just laying there in a daze, in shock, and just...
Wow.
Yeah, and they...
So you were raped. You were raped in that scene.
Exactly. They wouldn't give me a ride after the scene. I ended up calling a taxi, and I was very distraught, and I had the taxi actually take me to a little medical clinic to get checked out. I was having all these sensations. I was scared. I mean, it was terrifying. As soon as I had gotten done at the clinic, I started making phone calls, and I was telling people what had happened on the set, on Vince's set. And within a day or two, I was getting threatening phone calls from him, telling me that I had better shut my mouth, don't burn bridges, you don't know who you're messing with, on and on and on. And they would hang up. He did it himself. A couple of people did it for him. And so I was being threatened not to speak out about this. And when I went to pick up my check, I walked into the company itself, and Vince was sitting behind his desk. And I walked in, and I'm just beside myself. I'm just like, you know, like, I can't believe you did this to me, that type of thing. I immediately started attacking him. But when I came into the room, he goes, you know, my tape will make a liar out of you. My tape is going to make you look like a liar.
Because he edited the footage, is that why?
I said, I have no doubt about that. You know,
where'd you go after that? Did you hide out, or did you work again?
No, I did hide out for about 6 weeks. And following that, I hid out for a while because I was being threatened. You know, they were getting on the adult websites, being horrific. They were attacking me there, saying, "How do you rape a porn star?" And saying just horrific things. I mean, they really, really attacked me after that and were threatening me. And I didn't work again.
How do you think that rape affects you now still?
I can't have happy sexual relationships now, healthy relationships or loving relationships, because, you know, nobody gets past the pornographic past. So now, you know, even though it's been that many years, you know, let's use and abuse this woman because she used to do pornography and she deserves it. I mean, that's the mentality that I keep finding myself getting wrapped up in and in these relationships with. Very abusive, very emotionally, sexually. They're horrific experiences, and it's horrific to, you know, it's horrific to have gone through that, but then it's horrific to leave that. And then in my personal life, still find myself being violated in relationships.
Wow. Talk to me a little bit about STDs in the porn industry. The Los Angeles Public Health Department reported there's thousands of rampant STDs and even 25 cases of unpublicized cases of HIV among performers. Do you feel like they educated you about STDs? I mean, what went on with that?
You know, the last scene that I had booked for was Evil Angel, and they tried to rebook me. The scene was on a Thursday, and they tried to rebook me with the same actor for the following Monday. And I had this came after the rape. And I had had enough. I packed my bags, and I wanted to leave and go home. And I wound up finding out that that same performer had worked on the Sunday before our scene would have taken place on the following Monday. And they worked with a first-generation performer who was on a quarantine list for the HIV outbreak in 2004. And that's how close I came, you know, to being on that list.
And that was a pretty serious outbreak. Five actors and actresses that tested positive for HIV.
Right.
That must have been very frightening.
I feel like God was watching over me in so many ways.
That was definitely God watching over you. I can relate to that because there was all kinds of rampant STDs around the time that I'd work in, even an HIV scare, and so I can relate, and it's by the grace of God that I'm even here today, alive and well. I mean, I caught two sexually transmitted diseases in the porn industry. One of them was HPV, and the other was herpes, a non-curable disease, and I actually got early cervical cancer from HPV and had to have half of my cervix removed. So my heart is that I want to let people know, especially the women, know what kind of risks they're taking with their lives. In fact, you had told me that you felt like the porn industry made you like a sex soldier and that you're exempt from risks. Talk about that.
Exactly. In my mind, because I thought that they were doing everything to keep the industry safe, and they had me believing that I was exempt from contracting HIV or HPV or any of these STDs. And, I mean, granted, there's, 26,000 to 30,000 performers performing at a time. I mean, you know, they had me believing that I was like this sex soldier and that I was there to do my duty, and I wasn't going to get those things because we were being tested, you know, regularly. And they have you believing that that was the system of all systems and that, you know, you're not going to get those kinds of things. And
well, we all know testing isn't prevention.
Right. It's to go out there, and you're fine, and you're having unprotected sex, and those people are having unprotected sex.
Yeah, on and off the set, I might add.
It's unbelievable to me that they're allowed to make a business out of risking lives the way that they do. They don't even, I mean, they fight against mandating condoms because of sales, and it's just so wrong how many lives, you know, are out there being risked at the hands of others.
Yeah, it's actually the law in the state of California that they are to educate workers with a training manual, if you can believe that. It's also illegal for bodily fluids to touch skin or mucous membranes. We know that happens every day. And in fact, right now we're involved in a big Cal OSHA case with the adult film industry. They're actually fighting the law. The law actually says that in porn production, they have to use barrier protection such as a condom, and the porn industry refuses to follow any laws, blatantly breaks them, and so now the state of California, Cal OSHA, is actually doing something about that. But of course, the porn industry doesn't tell us that, you know, the laws. They actually lie and say that we'll be kept safe.
I mean, I was made to feel safe. I was made to feel that I was, like I said, the sex soldier out there going from business to business and having unprotected sex, and that it was okay and that I was going to check out fine in the end. I mean, that's the way that it was presented to me, and that's the way that I felt.
And here's another lie of porn. They say that the women enjoy making porn. Did you ever enjoy it?
I did not enjoy making porn. It was a big act. And like I said, that act got ugly once I got raped and reality set in and everything spiraled out like it did. I mean, it's an illusion is what it is. You know, I wanted to work more in mainstream, and that's hard. That's another thing. Girls don't understand. They think they're going to go out there and it's going to be glamorous and you know, they may have a shot at Hollywood or whatever they're thinking in their minds, and it's not the case. It just isn't. It's not a stepping stone. It's very unglamorous, and it's unhealthy, and there's so many ramifications that so many women don't understand. It's like they're going in with blinders on.
Let's talk about some of the consequences. You've talked about some of the consequences in the porn industry, but how are you treated now that you're out of porn?
I'm treated horrific. You know, I'm harassed. I've had men approach me and tell me they were single when they had girlfriends who are wives even. This is how sick people have treated me. I've had hateful mail to my home, hateful emails. I've had people text my phone, hey porn star, hey trash, stuff like that. I mean, it's been horrific. It's horrible. You know, finding jobs, I mean, even simple jobs, they don't want to hire me. They keep me from getting hired. And I know it's because of my past. That stigma follows you. It's going to follow me for the rest of my life, no matter what I do. And I don't think that people understand this.
I strongly believe and know in my heart that the porn industry is sex trafficking. Sex trafficking involves such words as like luring women in, coercing them, pressuring them, to even the point of forcing them. Like, I know a girl in the middle of a porn scene who was fed force meth. I know women who've had their faces grabbed, hair pulled, and they've been kicked, they've been spit on, they've had their faces dumped in toilet bowls and degrade them and call them names. Talk about some of the things you've seen like that. You know, I want people to really know the truth about how women are abused, and that this industry is sex trafficking.
Well, the acts that, you know, of the audience that they're trying to appeal to are very sick people. The women.
Yeah, like what you're saying is the people watching the porn are actually making demands on the women to fulfill their fantasies, and right now, like, some of those demands are like very violent porn. And so, when I always say when the porn consumer makes those demands, then the porn producer has to make those demands on the girl. They have to keep feeding the porn addiction. So
right after I left the industry, I heard that they had done a website, and they're punching these girls in the face, and a girl gets her jaw broken, and they don't want to fix it. And this is the type of thing that's going on. They're punching girls in the face with a fist to appeal to these people. And they could care less about the girls. They could care less about the performers. I mean, it's really horrifying meat market is what it is. The performers are products. Women aren't objects. You know, we don't want to be violated. And that's really what's watching these tapes out there, are people who like to see women being violated in so many ways that a real woman doesn't want. People who I know who are obsessed with pornography right here, even where I live. And I'm talking, these people have porn collections, they have orgies, they're obsessed with sex. And they're lawyers, they're doctors, they're dentists, they're judges. And they're the people that society puts up on these pedestals.
And also, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but the Church of Jesus Christ, I mean, there's a porn addiction problem going on right in the church, and Christians know better. And my heart is actually to see the Church of Jesus Christ be healed, because there's so much mercy and grace. Just like for us, Jesus had mercy and grace in our lives and even protected us from insurmountable odds. And I mean, you and I could be dead right now. I mean, just between 2007 and 2010, there's been, that we know of, 36 porn stars who died from suicide, homicide, overdoses, I mean, tragic deaths, you know.
Right.
And I mean, for you and I to even be here alive, even speaking out on this, is nothing but a miracle.
I wouldn't have a self right now if it weren't for my faith in God.
You have been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. To hear more about Shelley's ministry, visit thepinkcross.org. That's thepinkcross.org. To listen to more of our podcasts, visit us on iTunes or go to the Covenant Eyes blog. breakingfree at covenanteyes.com/blog.